Governor Quinn, Secretary Schneider, Chair Wolf.
Here.
Director Banks.
Here.
Director Darcy.
Here.
Director Dodson.
Here.
Director Gonzalez.
Here.
Director Peterson.
Here.
Director Reddick.
Here.
Director Sweeney.
Here.
Director Weisner.
Here.
Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. Before we start the official business of the meeting, I'd like to ask that we stand and have a minute of silence in honor of Vincent Petrella, who has been always killed in an accident. Thank you. Our condolences go out to his family. We are going to be talking about the memorial later on in the board meeting, but I just want to express our concern and support for them and also for Trooper Balder and his family, and acknowledge the important work that all of our people who work at the tollway do and how sad we are about this unfortunate event. And along those lines, we talked last month about how hard all of our folks were working in the cold and the snow, and I thought this meeting we'd be able to thank them for their hard work, but they're still at it and really have been flat out. So just on behalf of the board, I'd like to thank everybody. This has been an extremely hard winter, I think, for everybody, but for the people who are out protecting our customers, it's just been really yeoman's service that they've done. So please thank everybody. Okay, thank you very much. I don't have any indication that there's a need for public comment. Is there anybody here who would like to make public comment? Okay, then let's move to the approval of the regular board meeting minutes and the executive session from January. May I hear a motion?
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you. We'll do board committee reports. We'll start with the Finance Administration Operations.
Good morning. Finance Committee met last week on February 19th. Finance presented two items. The first item is payment to the tollway share of the 2013 retiree health insurance cost to the Department of Central Management Services. The payment is for the 2013 and is tollway's pro rata share of the state's cost based on service time at the tollway. I believe it's around $5.2 million. We have 995 retirees now in the system. It's up 37 from last year. The second item is an increase in the contract with Vantiv to process merchant card transactions. The additional cost for merchant card fees resulted in higher electronic toll revenue collected by the tollway due to the 2012 passenger vehicle rate increase. Their fee rent went from $35 million to approximately $45 million as their fee, and I believe our revenues jumped at least 30 to 40%, another $250 to $300 million in revenue fees were increased. That's why this fee had gone up in the credit card processing. Procurement presented four items which were approved by the FAO committee. Three were awards based on competitive selection, and a fourth is emergency extension of an existing contract with MEAT to purchase traffic and security monitoring and management system maintenance to allow time to complete a comprehensive bidding process. Engineering all presented 34 items for consideration. All were placed on today's consent agenda except for three land acquisition items that will be discussed in executive. Engineering items presented were 15 new construction contract awards representing approximately $250 million in improvements. I'll give you some highlights from those. We had approximately $59 million contract awarded on the Jane Addams for the reconstruction of Illinois Route 25. Another one on Jane Addams for approximately $22 million at Roselle Road, Road William Bridge reconstruction. Another one on the Jane Addams. $22 million at Meacham Road for roadway and bridge construction, and the Elgin O'Hare Expressway had several contracts awarded, one for $30 million at Meacham Road to Raleigh Road, about a mile to 2 miles of work. So construction is being let. It's underway. It's going to be quite a year on the engineering side.
That's not only people on the snow plants.
That's a lot. There was also one new professional service contract, one request for proposal, one supplement on a design contract, two change orders, and one extra work order. Three requests for partial release of retainage, seven requests for final release of retainage, and three land act items. Paul also will present today three additional items that were not completed at the time of our committee last week: a contract to maintain and manage the tollway's fiber optic system, a supplement on the design contract, and a change order extra work contract on the construction contract. Legal presented five items. There were four intergovernmental agreements in public session. There was one workers' comp litigation item that was discussed in detail in exec. The first intergovernmental agreement was with IDOT pursuant to a longstanding agreement with IDOT as part of a congestion relief plan. The TOWI agreed to perform extra work on I-294 northbound bridge over Illinois Route 21, which is Milwaukee Avenue, and accommodate IDOT's request for a bridge and to be lengthened and positioned in a way more easily allow future widening of 21. The second IGA was for the same, it was for the opposite direction for the southbound bridge. The third IGA was with the Village of Rosemont to address bridge reconstruction work on I-90 in various points. The fourth IGA was with the Village of Hoffman Estates in connection with the tollway's construction of a full access interchange to I-90 and Barrington Road. The workers' comp settlement was an exec session. I believe we're going to go back into exec again today to discuss that. That's a report. Thank you.
The committee is working hard too.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. And Director Wiseman.
Thank you. The strategic planning committee met on February 19th, and the two main topics really were related, one to the 2014-15 work plan, and the other to the I-90 corridor vision. And we'll be talking a little bit more in detail about the I-90 corridor in a little bit, so I won't go too far into that. Also, I think at the meeting that our executive director, we discussed a little bit of working with the state to piggyback with IDOT on the design build legislation that is now being moved forward by IDOT. We believe it would be very beneficial to us. It would not be all-encompassing, but it would come in very handily in many cases. Christy, did you want to elaborate a little bit on that?
Sure. We've been having some ongoing discussions on design-build. Design-build authorization is something that neither IDOT or the tollway have at this point in time. It would allow projects to move more efficiently and quickly to construction. That's really what design-build does. So instead of having a process as we currently do where you issue a design contract, the design contract is completed, and then you put out a project to bid, and then a bid process goes on. This would include all different elements of the process in one procurement. It's something that other states across the country have, and some authorization that would allow the tollway and IDOT to do that in certain cases would, I think, be a good thing for us. We could apply it in certain projects where time is of the essence, or where we want to, you know, shave time off the project delivery. So again, not something for necessarily a large part of the tollway's capital program. In fact, we don't see it being implemented that way at all, but some authority to do it on a case-by-case basis we think could be a good thing. So we'll continue to work with Illinois Department of Transportation and the industry and the governor's office on potentially being included in the bill, allowing that authority.
Do other tollways have that authority around the country?
They do. I can't give you a list right now, but we can certainly provide that. But yes, other toll authorities definitely have it. Other states definitely have it. Illinois has lagged behind in this area for some time. So again, not something that I would see applying broadly to all aspects of our program, but for certain key initiatives, it would make sense to have the authority potentially.
Okay, thank you. Relative to our work plan, one of the items we talked about was the I-90 active traffic management, and whether we'll be looking at that as to whether that is something that we might want to consider for other corridors going forward. But to give you a little bit of understanding of that, that's basically a means of monitoring, electronically monitoring and communicating really with our users in a way to assist them in optimizing the use of the tollway, of avoiding problems, of helping us to avoid general slowdowns, etc. And it's a very, I think, a very great concept. And when I'm concluded here, that we'll have a little presentation by Mr. Kovacs to give more detail on that. But I think it's going to be a great addition to our customer service, our provision of service to our customers in general. The tollway role in regional tolling projects such as Ileana and King County's toll bridge, we'll be looking at that this year, revisiting the progress of our green construction environmental rating system, which we call INVEST, in terms of implementing some of those concepts more fully in our construction as we go forward. In April, we'll be getting an update on the Illinois 53-120 project that'll include a summary of survey results, which I think will be quite interesting and telling in many ways, as well as the report on the committee work by the finance group there. We'll have a special strategic planning committee, customer service committee, joint meeting mid-year to talk about tolling business rules and policies, and specific early focus would be on the I-294-I-57 interchange project. In August, we're planning to hear an update on tollway freight planning, that effort that's currently underway by our staff, and at the end of 2014, we expect to hear recommendations from the Illinois 53-120 Finance Committee, which will also lead us into a discussion of potential other innovative financing and tolling options going forward. So it'll be a busy year, but I think a constructive one. And with that, sir, are you ready, Mr. Cole? Or do you want to...
I'm ready to go whenever I get told to.
I think we can go right into it. I thought it would make more sense after the chair/director's presentation on the strategic planning committee. So I don't think it needs. I don't think it was our intention to go back through the entire presentation. But you know, it is something that's innovative enough and interesting enough that we thought it was worth it to bring to the entire board and make sure everybody was aware of what we're planning to do on I-90. To implement our smart corridor concept. So Paul and his team have been working very hard on it.
It's a very short preamble, and Director Wisner provided most of the input, but it's on the Jane S. Memorial Tollway. We're talking about active traffic management. We know in the Move Illinois program that we committed to building a 21st century corridor, and we know this corridor serves a critical purpose connecting Rockford and the airport there with O'Hare International Airport to the east. We have a budget of $2.5 billion for all of our improvements on I-90. About $2.2 is dedicated to the mainline roadway and bridges. We have an additional $100 for crossroad bridges and ramps. This is all documented in our Move Illinois program book. And then we have $200 million that I made an appeal to the board when we were closing out the congestion relief program. You know, I'd love to put that money towards rebuilding it rather than just resurfacing that corridor. So the total is 2.5. We're going to widen an eight-lane section on the eastern portion of it from Randall Road into the Kennedy Expressway or O'Hare area, and then we're going to have six-lane cross-section that's going to be from Elgin out to I-39, the big system interchange there at Rockford. So, you know, the idea behind it also was, and we made that pretty clear in the Move Illinois book, we wanted it to be, you know, a 21st century corridor. We wanted it to be able to accommodate transit, and we wanted it to be, you know, have smart features, you know, be ahead of its time and take advantage and be able to take advantage of some of the new technologies that are coming into being right now to help people, you know, improve mobility on the roadway, reduce congestion on the roadway, enhance the safety of the roadway, and then provide some positive control for this, you know, transit option that we're implementing. So the goals all got translated into this vision, which you'll see in the video, and there's like three segments, and Nancy, if you want to start it. The first segment is going to show how we plan to control bus on shoulder, and really this active traffic management system consists of some overhead gantries connected by a big network of communication and power, and it also incorporates cameras, dynamic messaging. You see the bus on shoulder here. You see the designation of a preferential lane on the inside shoulder of I-90, which we built extra wide. And actually, that bus on shoulder is going to be able to accommodate. Nancy, can you pause 1 second? the thing that we're doing really unique on... The thing that's unique about this bus on shoulder, the way that we're implementing it, we actually designed our shoulder wide enough and to the same standard as the adjacent pavement so that the buses will be able to drive at highway speed. So what we found from talking with our transit partner is that the thing they need most is they need reliable travel times. So having this ability to operate the bus on shoulder during periods where there's some congestion, and we always are going to have some congestion at the interchanges, you know, it'll provide that reliability there to the transit folks, and it'll make that option more attractive for people to use. The second part, which we started here, is, you know, this is an occurrence on our roadway that is pretty common. We do have vehicles that stall in live lanes from time to time, and I know that we show an overhead gantry here. I'm trying to get it taken out of the video because in this first segment is, you know, this is how it happens every day out there on the road today. We get pages all the time, you know, a car stalls in the roadway and then the drivers who are approaching the incident from behind, they have no idea that that's up ahead and they're making, you know, evasive actions or maneuvers to avoid it. And they're kind of doing it, you know, at highway speed. So this is what happens today. And then the next part of the video shows like how we plan to better handle this type of common incidents with active traffic management.
You saw the arrow that pointed to the left.
Yeah, so the idea is active traffic management. These gantries are every half mile. They give the ability to start providing advance warning to our customers who are driving on the road that something's ahead. And it allows us, because we have a series of them, to phase in the messaging. So at the front end, you see there's something up ahead, you know, maybe move over. As you approach the incident, you'll see, you know, certainly are going to be actively closed. They'll have the red X above them. That shows that these lanes are not in service. And then, you know, even after we go through or past the incident, we can positively message to our customers that, hey, the road's back to normal again and all lanes are open. So... The primary idea behind it is it gives us the ability to monitor and manage the roadway in real time, communicate to our customers. We know that this is a technology that's being utilized in Europe and also in at least two other U.S. locations, and they're getting very positive results from it. It is reducing their number of primary and secondary incidents on their system. It is increasing their throughput. Everyone, you know, at least is showing some positive results with it. We know, you know, that there's even some new technologies coming along the way that it's going to allow vehicles to communicate to each other or vehicles to communicate to the roadway. And we've tried to incorporate the capabilities within our system to take advantage of those technologies if and when they do come online. So we're really excited about this. And the I-90 corridor, the eastern portion of it, the portion that actually is going to see the most amount of traffic, and the portion where is going to be downstream of all of our pickup spots, you know, where the buses are going to be picking up folks. So it makes sense how we're phasing it in. We're doing it, you know, in a very measured manner right now. We want to see how it's going to work, and we want to be able to take advantage of this and learn. Because we know we're rebuilding other portions of our system that, you know, this may be an attractive option for us there if we do see these kinds of improvements in mobility and congestion relief and enhanced safety and transit operation. And that's, I think I hit most of the key things.
Thank you, and thank you everybody for your work on it. It's one thing to say we're going to have a smart corridor, and then as you try to get into figuring out what that means and what that looks like, you know, lots of planning goes into it. So Paul and his group, as well as others here at the Tollway, really did a tremendous job on developing this. And I think, you know, we certainly hope to see positive benefits from it that maybe can be implemented in other parts of our system. And we definitely heard that in the committee that the board members who were at that committee meeting did ask about future implementations and whether there were applications for other corridors. So we will definitely keep that in mind. So, thank you.
Thank you. I just have two other quick things as part of my report. First is that Director Sweeney and I were talking before the meeting. He says we've got 6 feet of frost under roads in Illinois, so...
Under the pavement.
Yeah, under the pavement. So we'll look forward to some interesting discussions, probably in the spring. And then the other thing is, I know we all know what Christy and her team do in the materials we get in the reports. I think sometimes we're not as aware of what's going on that's not reported regularly and just all of the things that they do. I know she went to Springfield yesterday and appeared before a committee meeting. I just want to thank her and the people who support her for those kinds of things that happen outside of the regular board business, but she does such a great job. Thank you. And now I'll turn it over to you.
Great, thank you. I probably shouldn't say anything.
Just work on your world.
Right, exactly. So with that, you're right. There is a great deal that happens here, and I'm very fortunate to have a great team of people who work at the tollway who are very committed and do a wonderful job of making it, I think, a world-class agency. But given the high level of activity we have coming this year, I think you've all heard us say before, the highest in our agency's history in terms of kind of the construction and the program that we're trying to put out. We did want to warn you that there may be some need for special board meetings to approve contracts just to make sure we're getting things done in a timely way. 1 or 2 weeks can make a difference given how long the procurement process sometimes takes, and we do have a short construction season in Illinois. Shorter this past year, I think, than any of us would have liked to have seen, and perhaps short this year because of the winter conditions and other weather-related issues. But we did want to put that on your radar. Of course, all of these meetings would follow the Open Meetings Act rule, but we did want to warn you and ask for your cooperation and your own flexibility of your own schedules if you can make some special appearances if we need you in order to have a quorum and keep things moving here for our program. We would greatly appreciate that.
And obviously, we give people enough warning to get them.
Of course.
It's not going to just pop up.
Right. Right. So as the chair mentioned, I did have the committee hearing in Springfield yesterday. IDOT, myself, and Ann Schneider from the Department of Transportation all testified with some of our staff on safety measures that we're taking and how our agencies are working together to improve safety on all of our roadways. In fact, a group of representatives from the three agencies plus the trucking industry have been meeting recently, and I think we're going to have some exciting public awareness campaigns but also enforcement efforts coming up to just make sure that everybody's being as safe as they possibly can on the roadways. Our 2012 accident rate was the lowest in the 55-year history of the tollway, but of course we would like the accident rate to be zero, and that's what we strive for. I think all of our agencies, the Illinois State Police, IDOT, and the tollway are in agreement on that point for sure. So I think that hearing went very well. I think the members of the General Assembly were happy to hear that our agencies do work very closely together and plan to continue to, and more to come on, I think, some new initiatives. You've seen our new distracted driving campaign, Drop It and Drive, and I think we'll have some other initiatives coming up in the future, specifically targeted to the trucking industry with the partnership of the trucking industry. So I'd like to introduce Captain Kimes. The Illinois State Police District 15 is responsible for patrolling our 286 miles. As most of you in this room, I think, know, the tollway actually has a dedicated state police unit that's actually housed here at CA and is dedicated to the tollway system. They do an incredible job for us. They're partners with us on the roadway. You know, the incidents that you hear about our workers out there, troopers are always right there, shoulder to shoulder with them, and often doing additional things, child safety seat checks, and making sure that we're catching people who might be driving under the influence or otherwise impaired on our roadway. So we're very fortunate to have a new commander who has worked in a wide variety of assignments with District 15 before. Captain Patrick Kimes was first assigned to District 15 after graduating from the Illinois State Police Academy in 1990. I'm sure you were very young when that happened. And over the next 21 years, his assignments in District 15 have included the Special Enforcement Team, Commercial Vehicle Enforcement, ship commander and district operations officer. So during this time, he's received promotions, as you would expect, in order for him to have the rank of captain. And in 2011, he left District 15 for an assignment as commander of the Illinois State Police statewide gaming unit. A year later, he was assigned to ISP Division of Internal Investigations. So now we are fortunate to have him back as the new commander of District 15, and we'd like to welcome him. He is working to complete his MBA at Governor State University. So constant self-improvement seems to be a personal mantra, but we appreciate his leadership, and we also want to thank, of course, Lieutenant Bob Meter, who was acting head of the unit for some time. His responsibilities in there's a blood drive that we're hosting tomorrow and next Wednesday, just in an effort to help Trooper Douglas Balder and you know, again, lend the support that we can to all the people who might be in need of blood or other you know, medical assistance in the area. So welcome, Captain Kimes. Thank you. We look forward to your leadership, and we know that you have on your mind, as we all do, Trooper Balder and his recovery. So thank you for being here.
Congratulations.
We wanted to update you on the, as the chair mentioned, we have a memorial that's going in for at one of our end sites, honoring Vincent Petrella, who's the worker who was killed on our system. You know, last month the tollway lost, you know, one of our very dedicated employees when we lost Vince Petrella from M8 out in Naperville. He started the tollway back in 2001 and was really the kind of person who arrived each day ready to work and get the job done. And on January 21st, he lost his life in the line of duty. And of course, we are all devastated by that loss. So Diana Stewart from our communications department is going to show you what the tollway has planned for the memorial. I'd like to remind everyone that there is a memorial fund that the family has set up, and I think we've provided information on that in the past. But this is the memorial that we're planning to install for Vincent at the tollway. So Diana, great.
Good morning, everybody. What we did is we put together several different plaque concepts and several different inscriptions and took them out to the M8 maintenance site in Naperville so that the guys that worked with Vince could actually have some say about what made sense and what felt like it fit Vince's spirit. The guys at M8 then narrowed this down to three choices, and we took those choices out to the family to make sure that the family was also in agreement with the design concepts and with the inscriptions, and we're happy to say that they actually both agreed, and we'd like to present that to you today. What we're going to do is we will be moving into production of this plaque in the next month, so that hopefully if weather agrees with us, we can have our dedication ceremony in the spring. So what the plaque is, it's a bronze plaque that has the letters and the images in a relief form. It stands out from the plaque. It will have his photograph on it. This right now is just a standby photo, so it's just for placement purposes, but it will have that. And I'd like to read the inscription to you. It says, "He cared about and enjoyed doing things for others. He didn't consider it servitude. It's just what he did. He was the worker." Now, that term, the worker, is kind of interesting. When we were out there with the MA guys, we asked them, you know, what is it that Vince likes? You know, did he like this kind of music? Did he spend his time with his family? What did he do? And unanimously, the guys at the garage said, he was the worker. This is a guy that walked into work every day and he'd say, worker here. If they said something needs to be done, workers got it. Workers here. So that was this term that they all referred to Vince as. We presented that inscription to his family, and his family agreed with the guys out at M8 and said this really captures Vince's spirit. So that's the plaque that we're going to have. And then what we're going to do is we will be placing the plaque onto the face of the rock. And this rock has been generously donated by the Queen of Heaven Catholic Cemetery and Mausoleum. So the guys at M8 are going to work alongside with the guys at M2. They're going to actually carve out this rock, install the plaque into it, and then the guys at M2 have asked that they do the inscription into the rock itself. and the inscription on the rock will read, "His commitment to work hard and his discipline to get the job done will forever be a part of this garage and M8 spirit," 1024. Now, 1024 is an ISP 10 code phrase that the maintenance department uses, and it means the job has been completed. We want to thank everybody that was out at M8 that helped us with this, and everybody at M2 that's going to help put this all together. In a strange way, in the face of a tragic loss, there has been some peace and some collaboration here at this agency. It really brought everybody together. And so in that spirit, we want to acknowledge Vince with this memorial. So that we recognize not only who he was, but what he brought to the agency. So what we'll do is we'll keep everybody posted on the dedication ceremony date, and God willing, the weather is good, we'll have that sometime in April or later in the spring. Thanks.
Thank you. So I think this is an important part of our, honoring one of our fallen workers, and it was important certainly to the people who worked with him side by side. The memorial fund that was established by the family is at Chase Bank, and it will go to the family. It's not for this installation or, this is something that the tollway is responsible for, but any donations to that fund at Chase Bank will go to support, his wife and children. So again, we appreciate, communications and everybody's work on this, and it is very meaningful to both our employees and I think to the family as well. So thank you very much. Thanks. Diana, for the presentation. We will let you know when the dedication is scheduled.
And I hope all the board members will contribute to the memorial fund. Just the check goes to any branch bank at Chase.
Right,
very
in his
easy
name.
To do.
Yeah, very easy to do. So my next and I think final item is, it's perhaps not as futuristic in appearance, but the water main that runs alongside a portion of I-90, the Jane Addams, certainly has a huge impact on our construction plans there, as well as a huge impact on all the communities, obviously, who rely on it for their water. Deputy Chief of Program Implementation Pete Fornsler has an update on the status of plans to relocate this water main to accommodate the I-90 rebuilding and widening project. We've been working closely with NSM JAWA, the North, that stands for, somebody's going to have to help me, the
Northwest Suburban Joint Action Water Agency. We are going to call them NISM JAWA as an acronym. It does not flow very well.
No, it doesn't. Thank you for rescuing me. I was trying to remember what came after Northwest. So I appreciate that, and without further ado, I'll let Pete go into some detail here on what we plan to do. There's a tremendous amount of water, tremendous amount of pressure on this line, so this is no small undertaking to relocate this line without disrupting water service for these communities.
Yes, so. Yes, thank you, Christy. Yeah, this is exciting engineering. I think it would be exciting at least to the engineering community. It probably won't be exciting. The public won't know much about this, unlike Paul's active traffic management. That's another exciting engineering initiative. The public will see, it will visually see the benefit of this. But this, again, is some exciting. But what I'm hoping to do here today is familiarize the board, again, with this NISM JAWA line, which is located adjacent to I-90, and bring you up to date on some of the engineering and coordination that we've done with the agency. So a little overview here, as Christy said, Northwest Suburban Municipal Joint Action Water Agency, NISM JAWA, from here forward. I'll talk about some of the design efforts and basically the plan that we developed here, and the plan will be the theme of we need to avoid it, we need to either, and then if we can't avoid it, protect it, and if we can't protect it, we'll have to relocate it. Not sure what I did.
Probably not you.
So let me just tell you a little bit of background about the NISM JAWA. It was actually created back in 1981. It was with seven municipalities in the northwest suburbs. It was created to bring water